The Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 6th of July, the 187th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 178 days left in 2024. Today is Independence Day in Malawi. They're celebrating their independence from the United Kingdom in 1964. And it's also Independence Day in Comoros, for them, from France, in 1975. Happy, happy, Malawi and Comoros. It's a two-woman show today. Paul Myers is taking a little break, and Erwan Rome, too. But Ms. Olya Horton is standing by with her happy moment. And Adrian Turo is with us to mix the show. Adrian is not a woman. I misspoke. It's a two-woman, one-man show today. Welcome, Adrian.
This is the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you preserve.
Still to come on the Sound Kitchen, the Listener's Corner with your answers to the bonus question. And as noted, Olya's happy moment. There's music from Susan to round it all out. But first, the quiz. On the 8th of June, I asked you a question about an article we'd written earlier that week about the 35th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square crackdown in Beijing, China. On the 4th of June, 1989, the Chinese People's Liberation Army broke up protests by pro-democracy students in the square. According to various reports, anywhere from hundreds to thousands of students were killed. One of the student leaders, Wang Dan, after two periods of imprisonment in China, was allowed to emigrate to the U.S. He currently lives in San Francisco, where he leads the Dialogue China think tank. He was in Paris recently and came to RFI for an interview, which you read in our article, Tiananmen Square at 35, Top Chinese Dissident Looks Back. In the interview, we asked Wang Dan, how did the 4th of June, 1989, change China? What does he answer? That was your question. The answer is, and I quote Wang Dan, June 4th is a turning point in China's contemporary history. There are two Chinas, the China of before 1989 and the China of after. The main difference is that before 1989, the state and the society cooperated. That's why we took to the streets. We, as a representative society, go to the street and ask to cooperate with the government to promote democracy. There's no difference between us. We think we are all us. We all take responsibility for the country. But after 1989, many Chinese people gave up on this idea. You are the government. We are the normal Chinese people. There's no more us. It's just you and me. After 1989, the Chinese people gave up the responsibility for their country's future because they thought that they could not do anything and that it's the government's responsibility to change China, not the people's. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question, what is the ideal human relationship? It was suggested by Debashis Gope from West Bengal, India. You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so don't touch that dial. The winners of this week's quiz are RFI Listener's Club member Karuna Kantapal from West Bengal, India. Karuna is also this week's bonus question winner. He wrote, "The ideal human relationship is friendship with all human beings." That's lovely, Karuna, from your pen to God's ears. And congratulations on your double win. Also on the list of lucky winners this week are Nafisa Khatun, the president of the RFI Mahila Shrota Sangha Club in West Bengal, India, and RFI Listeners Club member Kashif Khalil from Faisalabad, Pakistan. Last but not least, there are RFI English listeners John Yemi Sande Touré, who's been away for a while. Welcome back, John. John lives in Freetown in Sierra Leone. And finally, there's Rafik Kondekar, the president of the Source of Knowledge Club in Naugaon, Bangladesh. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. You may be sick of hearing about it, but you will not be spared by me. All we're thinking of here in France are the legislative elections. As you know, after President Macron's centrist party was severely trounced by the far-right National Rally Party in the European legislative elections, he dissolved the lower house of our parliament and called for snap elections. The first round was last Sunday, and the second round is tomorrow, Sunday the 7th. We had a really high voter turnout for the first round last Sunday, but you know all about it because you read Jessica Phelan's article, The Three-Way Factor That Makes France's Election Results So Unusual. Of course you did. Well, just in case you didn't memorize it, I want you to reread it and send in the answer to these questions. What was voter turnout in last Sunday's polls? And when was it last that high? Again, reread Jessica Phelan's article, The Three-Way Factor That Makes France's Election Results So Unusual, and send in the answer to these questions. What was voter turnout on Sunday, the 30th of June, the first round of French legislative elections, and in which year was it last that high? You'll find Jessica's article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. This week's bonus question is, given unlimited resources, what scientific or medical problem would you investigate and why? Cancer? Autism? Black holes? Extraterrestrials? If you had unlimited resources, what scientific or medical problem would you investigate and why? Remember, we're happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. You have until the 19th of August to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question to me. Be sure to tune in on the 24th of August to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. You can also text your answer to the Sound Kitchen mobile phone. Dial +336 31 12 96 82. That's +336 31 12 96 82. Always include your postal mailing address and, if you have one, your RFI club membership number.
It's EPUB time. The EPUB video competition is ready for your videos. The EPUB video competition is sponsored by the RFI Department Planet Radio, the department whose mission is to give a voice to the voiceless. EPUB focuses on environment and how climate change has affected ordinary people. You are to create a 3-minute video about climate change, the environment, pollution, told by the people it affects. So put on your thinking caps and start filming. You do not need expensive video equipment. to enter the competition. Your phone is fine, and you do not need to be a member of the RFI clubs to enter. Everyone is welcome. And by the way, the prizes are incredibly generous. Go to the EPOP page, epop.network/en, to read about the past competitions, watch past videos, and read the regulations for your entry. You can also write to us at the Sound Kitchen at rfi.fr2, and we'll forward your email to Planet Radio. Again, the EPOP information page is at epop.network/en. That's epop.network/en. The competition closes on the 12th of September, but as the old adage goes, time flies, so get to work now. We expect to be bombarded with zillions of entries from the English speakers.
It's time for the Listener's Corner. The question you answered this week, suggested by Debashis Gope from West Bengal, India, was, what is the ideal human relationship? Father Stephen Wara wrote, "For me, it is simple, but not easy, to live and let live." Or again, simply to live like a Christian, namely, to learn to forgive and be forgiven. Amen, Padre. I wish more Christians were like you. Radhakrishna Pillai wrote, "The ideal human relationship is more than just a harmonious connection. It's a dynamic, evolving partnership marked by mutual respect, empathy, and understanding." For Malik Muhammad Metrab Kokar, it is, as he wrote, being able to understand and empathize with others, as well as being able to communicate effectively. Dipita Chakrabarty wrote, "I consider caring, love, and affection as the ideal human relationship, especially in my relationship with my mother, who brought me into this world." Muhammad Shamim is with you, Dipita. He wrote, "The mother-child relationship is the ideal human relationship. The mother rears the child. She is his first teacher from whom he learns the first lessons of life. The teachings of the mother are divine." Well, if the mother is well-intentioned and able to properly raise a child, I don't think all mothers teach their children well or are in an environment where the children can thrive even with mother love. But fortunate are we whose mothers could and did. John Yemi Sunde Touré wrote that the ideal human relationship is when you are centered on your loved ones or lover. Jayanta Chakrabarty wrote, "In my opinion, the basic human relationship, be it with your partner or parents, is truthfulness and sincerity. Pretense or falsehood has no role to play, as they tend to destroy the unconditional trust you've reposed and believed in. These virtues mean a lot to me because they create an eternal bond of love, compassion, and togetherness in my life." Helmut Matt wrote that the answer was simple for him: love, trust, and mutual respect. We'll close with Kashif Khalil. For Kashif, the ideal human relationship, he wrote, relies on a good sense of humor, a huge dose of patience, and a dash of humility. And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question is, if you had unlimited resources, what scientific or medical problem would you investigate and why? Do you have a bonus question idea? If so, send it to us at the Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr. That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating.
Hello, I'm Ras Franzman Kongogo, RFI club member from Kemogemba, Tarime Mara, Tanzania. My greetings to all of my fellow listeners in East Africa, India, and all over the world. My message is, make big babo, but not trouble.
Time to get happy with Ms. Olya Horton.
Just take a pinch of inspiration, a bunch of good vibes, a drop of creativity, and sprinkle it with sunshine. And there you have the perfect recipe for a happy moment. Hello, Sound Kitchen listeners. Olya Horton from the RFI English team. I hope you are well. This month's happy moment is all about discovering new places. There's something exciting about getting away from your regular routines, seeing some new scenery, and meeting new people. That's exactly what happened for me this past month when I visited two new places, one in France and one in Italy. I went on a day trip to the village of Le Gassilly in Brittany, western France. It's home to an annual photo exhibition that focuses on the environment and social issues. It's an outdoor event where the photographs are displayed in large formats in parks and gardens and on the walls of buildings around the town, meaning everyone can enjoy them easily. Invited as a journalist, I jumped at the chance to do some interviews and videos for RFI, which you'll be able to see online soon. On top of that, this year's country of honour is Australia, and no less than 11 photographers were invited to participate. And it was a real pleasure to meet some of them who came for the opening. The other new place I discovered was the Italian city of Florence, or Firenze. I had already visited Rome and Milan, and Florence was, of course, on my bucket list. When my brother contacted me to say he would be travelling through Italy and suggested meeting up for a long weekend, I bought my tickets straight away. We were lucky with the weather, sunny but not too hot. We strolled around the hilly Bardini Gardens and the Boboli Gardens and had a look at some classical art in the Palazzo Pitti. We even caught a glimpse on TV of the annual Storia event, a cross between wrestling and rugby. The team competition dates back to the Renaissance period and involves men running around in hilarious satin pants in front of a very wild crowd. We also went to the central market and ate some delicious local food such as gelati ice cream and truffle sauce pasta. We even stopped for a drink in a prison that has been converted into a bar. As you can tell, there are plenty of ingredients to make me happy this month. A dose of travelling, discovering new places and meeting new people, and of course, eating tasty food. What about you? Do you have a happy moment to share with fellow Sound Kitchen listeners? Don't be shy. You can send them to the Sound Kitchen or get in touch through Facebook. You can leave a message on the Sound Kitchen answering machine or go ahead and record your happy moment and send it to us in an email. All the addresses and phone numbers you need can be found on the Sound Kitchen page of our website, rfienglish.com. When you record, just make sure you hide under a blanket. It makes for better sound quality. That's all from me this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Olya Horton. Enjoy your weekend. Bye for now.
Thank you, Olya. Sounds like you really had some great discoveries. You can hear Olya's happy moment on the first Saturday of every month. Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining me in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, emails, and text messages coming. Many thanks to Ariane Tourault for mixing the show, and thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week for the answer to the question about the European Parliament elections. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Susan. I've chosen for you a work by my countryman, John Adams. It's called The Chairman Dances Foxtrot for Orchestra. Adams composed The Chairman Dances in 1985. He described it as an outtake from the opera he was working on at the time, Nixon in China. In the opera, the music depicts Madame Mao gate-crashing a presidential banquet, hanging paper lanterns, and performing a seductive dance. Chairman Mao descends from his portrait, and the two dance a foxtrot, going back in time together. It's a wonderful scene because I was fortunate to see it at its world premiere in, believe it or not, Houston, Texas. Not just about cowboys, the Texans. It premiered there in 1987, and then I heard it again here at the Bastille Opera just last year. I loved it way back then, and I loved it just last year. I hope you like this Foxtrot for Orchestra, The Chairman Dances by John Adams. This is a performance by the San Francisco Symphony conducted by Ado DeVart. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends. Talk to you all next week. Thank you.